We're going to be in 1 John again. I feel like we've been visiting 1 John a little bit. So the passage we're going to be in is 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 through 21. If you have a Bible, great. I encourage you to open it up, mark it up, live there. If you don't, we actually have some Bibles over there. We're going to be there for the most part. We'll share some other verses, but that's where we're going to be, 1 John chapter 5. And the title of this is called We Know. We Know. And there's something beautiful about knowing something, confidently knowing something. And when you are unsure, it makes you quiver and quake, and it causes doubt to sneak in. And I'm a really good example of that. Kind of funny, sad story. When I was dating Rachel, I needed a lot of work. Let's just say that. And I was so unsure if I was to marry her. And because of that, I was not a good boyfriend. I was not a good man in her life because I was so fearful of making the wrong decision that I was doubting myself. But as soon as I knew that I loved her, and as soon as I knew that the Lord was like, okay, you're going to marry her, do you know what? Everything changed. I knew that she was it. And it freed me to love, it freed me to serve, and it gave me such incredible confidence to ask her the big question. You know, like, just to live and walk with her and how to love her. You know, perfect love casts out fear. You know, like, it released me to love her. Before that, it was just this, like, I don't know, you know, like, but as soon as I knew, changed everything. And what I want to talk about this morning is that we, as the people of God, know some things. We know some things. So you need to hear this. And beloved, I wish the whole city of Santa Rosa heard this, the whole Church of Christ. So chapter 5, verse 13, this is John, and he's saying, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So he's writing to you, the people of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we've asked of him. If anyone sees his brother sinning, committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, there is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who's been born of God does not keep on sinning. But he who has been born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Woo! Isn't that awesome? I love it. I love it. Before we even get started, you need to know that John's not saying, I know this. He's not saying, I know that I'm part of God's family. I know that. He's saying, we know this. He's talking to a group of people who have been rattled because people from amongst their groups, people who said they were Christians, were actually giving them false teaching. And John's stepping in and he's speaking to him and he's stirring up a confidence in the people of God that just because someone says something that doesn't mean that it's right. He's saying there's going to be false teachers that are going to rise up. They're going to tell you a lie. Don't listen to them. I'm going to speak the truth. And he's saying, we know these things. We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. We have access to God. We know the truth. And he's saying that we know it. So this isn't something that just the pastor is privy to. This is something that as the people of God that we collectively know this as true. So it's talking about us. We are your church. Didn't we sing that? Not just me. I'm part of the church. No, we are your church. Isn't that awesome? That's God's design. It was never just this single relationship with you and God. It was we. You get to be part of a family when you step into relationship with Jesus Christ. When he becomes your Lord and your master and your Savior, it's no longer just about you. You become part of we. You become part of the body of Jesus Christ. And one of the greatest lies that I feel our culture presents, even in the church, is this personal relationship with Jesus that is just you and God. And that's a lie. If that's it, then go as a pancreas and survive by yourself. It's not how it works. Go as a finger and survive. You need the body. General observation, everyone that I've seen who I know loves God, really honestly loves God, but is disconnected or not connected to the church, has little to no effect for the kingdom of God. They might love God, but I don't believe they're having any effect. We're supposed to be part of a we. And John is talking to the we. Say, we know some things. So it starts off, verse 13. I'm writing to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have eternal life. Beloved, if you are a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been saved, you've been washed, God's given you a new mind, and new heart, you need to know that you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Think about that. You have eternal life. This short little life that you're passing through is going to be really hard, and it's going to be really stupid sometimes and sometimes unfair, but you need to know that you have eternal life, that this life is going to end sometime. But do you know what? It's just the beginning, because heaven is yours, and Jesus is yours, and eternity is yours. You've been given eternal life that starts the day that you repent and come to Jesus. Life begins, and it goes on forever and ever and ever. You have eternal life. And beloved, if you embrace this, if you know this, it makes these light and momentary sufferings worthwhile. Changes everything. Changes our perspective completely. I'm writing to you these things, to you who believe in the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So John's persuading people, you need to believe this. And if you already believe this, you need to know that you have assurance. You can't be rattled off this. You have eternal life if you believe that he's the Son of God. If you're in, you're in. You have eternal life. John 10, 28, Jesus says, I give them eternal life. Jesus is the giver of eternal life, and they will never perish. Those who are a part of him, they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Isn't that awesome? If you know this, you have confidence. You don't need to worry when you trip on and make a stupid decision and sin again. You don't need to worry. You can have assurance that you have eternal life. And it changes everything. But if you doubt, you know what? It just clouds everything. Doubt clouds everything. So, beloved, the Word of God is giving us assurance that we know that we have eternal life. I believe this was Josh McDowell actually said this. I wasn't there, but I believe it was here and he said this. I believe this is where it came from. But the question was this: why do you believe in God? Why believe in Jesus? And he asked that to the whole audience. And you don't need to respond, but why do you believe in Jesus? What would you say? There's all kinds of answers, you know, like, he's changed my life. He's, you know, done miracles. He's helped me do this. And he said, that's all great, but, I mean, other things have changed people's lives, you know? Like, medicine has changed people's lives. Drugs, good drugs, have changed people's. So what's the deal? And he said, do you know why we follow Jesus? Because it's true. And I was like, that's right. It's true. It's true. So, beloved, those who have given their life to Jesus have eternal life, and that's true. Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to me, no one comes to the Father except through me, right? So this is true. We have eternal life. And John is so confident in that relationship he has with God, that security, that he's telling it to other people. If you give your life to Jesus, you can be assured of eternal life. So, beloved, one thing we need to know, that if we want to be givers of that message, we need to be secure ourselves in that confident relationship that we have with Jesus, right? If we are confident, we can give confidence to others. But if we're like, oh, I think I'm good, it's not very encouraging. It's not very encouraging. If I'm honest, if I was on the outside looking in, I don't know if I'd want to follow someone who wasn't confident in that, right? But we know. We know. So we can be confident in our salvation. We can be confident that we have eternal life. And then verse 14, right on the heels of that confidence in salvation. So this is right after we know that we're saved. We know that we have eternal life. Verse 14 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that our Savior, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Unbelievable. He has saved us. He's rescued us from the pits of hell. He's saved us from our sin. He's saved us from our death. And do you know what? He hears us when we pray. You're kidding me. The God of the universe, the one who spoke life into existence, the one who is self-sufficient, the one who is all-powerful, hears us when we pray. Maybe you don't think that's a big deal, but that's a big deal. Think about it. That's why that, while Miguel was talking about prayer, it's like, do you know what we get to do? We get to talk to God. We get to talk to God, and it's not just words. Like, he hears us. And you know what the scripture says in Revelation? That he keeps them. He keeps our prayers. Oh my goodness, this is such good news. We have confidence that anything we ask according to his will, he hears us. But according to his will. So beloved, hear this. John 15, if you abide in me, if you have a relationship with Jesus, if you are with Jesus, and my words, Jesus said, if my words are in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this isn't hey, you just hang out and talk with God and just spout out things and God does them. No. Beloved, do you know how we know the will of God? We have to know the word of God. John 15 says, just as I said, if you are in me, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, so if this becomes living in you, guess what? You know what God wants to do. And it changes how you pray. It goes a little bit beyond God. God, help me to have a good day. Not to belittle that prayer, but the Son of God did not leave heavenly places, to empty himself of all power, to become a perfect sacrifice, to pay for your sins, to then be exalted, to be given the name above all other names, that every name who confesses that will be saved, just so that you can have a nice day. Right? So we have to know the will of God. We have to know the word of God. This has to abide in us. And beloved, when this abides in us, this changes how we pray, and we begin to know and pray the will of God. That's how Jesus, the disciples, teach us how to pray. What was one of the things he said? May your will be done. May your kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. Amen. And it says that we will have the request that we've asked of them. How in the world does this happen? Because God has ordained it to be that God would work in partnership with his body. 2 Corinthians 6:1 talks about that we are working with him. We are not passive. You know, it's not like we sit back, we're saved, we sit back and watch God shoot lightning from the sky as the kingdom comes. Beloved, this is why this is so exciting to be part of the body of Jesus Christ on earth, because he wants to do it with you. Amen? He wants to use you right where you're at to fill you with the Holy Spirit and then to pray the promises of God, pray the will of God confidently, because we know we have eternal life. So because we know that, we can with full assurance pray the will of God. Oh, it's awesome. But the promises of God are rooted in the word of God. You know, I was thinking about this. None of my kids are here, so I can say this, but every once in a while I say things. Okay, girls, we're going to do this. And I forget. I forget I say it. And then afterwards they're like, Daddy, can we do this? And I'm like, nope. And they said, but you said. And I was like, I did. And you know what? I'm very likely to do it because I said it. Right? If I said it, I have to do it. Now, the only way around that is to you know, discount that. I didn't say that. You know, like, I didn't say that. You could discount it. You can say, I'm changing my mind. Or you can just blow it off and be like, and not listen. But to say it, if I said I was going to do it, if I'm a man of my word, unless there's a really good reason, I need to do that. How much more your Father in heaven, who does not lie and does not waste words. Amen? So we pray, God, you said. God, you said. So that's why prayer becomes so beautiful, because we're actually praying the promises of God once it gets into us. God, you said. So do it. I can't do that. But you can. You're calling me to pray? All right, in confidence, I'm going to ask according to your will. Amen. Amen. Dad, you said. But I think part of the problem with this is that so much prayer just falls flat because we don't ask for anything. We don't ask. James says, you don't have because you don't ask. So, beloved, as the people of God, we need to be people who ask. If you have kids or are a kid, you know that you're always asking for stuff. That's part of being a kid. That's part of being a child of God. We're always asking for stuff, right? We're always asking for stuff. Why? Because we see that the earth is here and the principalities of the world are here and the kingdom of God is over here, and we're like, God, change the earth, change the atmosphere, change the earth, change my workplace, change me, change my neighborhood, may your kingdom come. We got a lot to ask for. God, raise up 72. The kingdom of God's not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power, and it's God's power. Here's another verse, and we're going to tie this in with a quote and then move on. Matthew 11:12, Jesus is saying, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Not the passive bystanders, the violent take it by force. I want you to read this quote by Charles Spurgeon. Says this, frequently complaints are made and surprise expressed by individuals who have never found a blessing rest upon anything they have attempted to do in the service of God. So in essence, he's saying there is complaints because they're like, nothing's happening. I don't see God. So there's frequent complaints. And then he says, I've been a Sunday school teacher for years, says one, and I've never seen any of my girls or boys converted. No, and the reason most likely is you have never been violent about it. You have never been compelled by the divine spirit to make up your mind that converted they shall be, and no stone shall be left unturned until they were. You have never been brought by the Spirit to such a passion that you said, I cannot live unless God blesses me. I cannot exist until I see some of these children saved. Then falling on your knees in agony of prayer and putting forth afterwards your trust in the same intensity towards heaven, you would never have been disappointed, for the violent take it by force. Oh, wow. You see, because we have such confidence that we have eternal life, that we are saved, we've been rescued, so we can ask Daddy what he's promised us to do, and we can chase after it. And beloved, I know this is true about me, and this is what we fall into, is that we stop praying because we get weary or we don't see it right away. So we stop asking. And beloved, the Word of God is inviting us to pursue it like nothing else. God, build your church. God, change my mind. God, rescue my marriage. God, change my neighborhood. God, rescue my neighbor. He thinks he knows you, but he doesn't. Going after it confidently. Wouldn't it make all the difference if you knew God was going to answer that if you just ask 400 more times? You do it because you were confident in it. So, beloved, I'm inviting you to be assured that God, when we pray his will, he hears us and he answers when we pray according to his will. It's awesome to be a Christian. Who else gets to do this? The people of God get to do this. Amen. Amen. All right, verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. I kind of skipped this section. Not on purpose, but I want to focus on the we know. So we know that if we've been born of God, if we've been born again, if we've been spiritually brought to life, the Holy Spirit's been placed in us, says that no one who has done that keeps on sinning, but he who has been born of God protects him. So God protects him, and the evil one doesn't touch him. So what this is talking about is we know that if we've been born again, if we've been saved, we don't keep sinning. That doesn't mean that we don't sin, but it says that the power of sin has been broken. So habitual sin that we just do again and again and again, there's no power, there's no victory. This continual choice to live in a lifestyle style of sin, that doesn't happen. That doesn't mean that we don't struggle with sin. It means that we are not slaves like we used to be. So no one who has been born again keeps on sinning. But he who has been born of God protects him. God protects him. God protects him. And the evil one does not touch him. Beloved, you need to know that doesn't mean that God, that Satan doesn't poke you. We get poked a lot, but what it means is that Satan cannot grasp you. Satan cannot hold you. Why? Those chains have been broken. Those chains have been broken, and you are no longer a slave to sin. You are a slave to righteousness. You have a new master. We were singing about this a little while ago that, you know, like we confess that, listen, Jesus is king, you know. We have a new master, so we don't keep on sinning. Why? Because we have a new spirit alive in us, giving us power to walk with him. Verse 19, we know that we are from God. We are not of this earth. We are strangers here. We are aliens here. We don't belong here. You are God's people. You are from God. That's who you are part of. You're not a nationality. You're not an ethnicity. You're none of that. You are part of God's family. Amen? Amen. But then it says, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. So you're not stuck there, but everyone else is. You know, the scripture talks that he's the prince of the air. Like he has authority here. But we are from God. But we know that the whole earth is under the Satan's power. And beloved, you need to know that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Like there's a real battle going on and it's everywhere. It is everywhere. Beloved, may you have spiritual eyes to know this. That there is light and dark, that there is evil and there is God. And this is so real. And beloved, we need to be mindful of it. Not scared of it, but mindful of it. That Satan's got rule and reign here until he's put away. But do you know what? We're not slaves to that. We've been rescued from that. We're from a different family now. We are now sons of God. We are from God. We've been born of God. And we're in him, not the world system. But, beloved, you need to know that God disarmed these principalities and power, made a public example, made a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in Christ. That's Colossians 2:15. So that's real. That power is real. That authority is real. That blindness that you see in people is spiritual blindness. But, beloved, we've been rescued from that because we're the people of God. We're the people of God. And do you know what? We know that we are from God. Is that good? You go to work, you know that you're part of God's family. You are from God. In verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us understanding. We know this. See, here's the deal. Understanding is a gift. God gives understanding. This isn't something that, you know what, if you by yourself study up enough, you'll get it. So your job as a Christian is just to study up already. No. And I'm not saying don't study. But if God doesn't help you in your study, you're broke. God gives understanding. I want to read a couple verses. This is in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And Paul is praying this. Ephesians 1, 16. Paul is saying, I don't cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope in which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And he just goes on and on and on. And Paul is praying for understanding. So, beloved, may the Lord give you understanding. But do you know what? We know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. God's given you understanding. So if you don't understand, ask with confidence. He'll give you understanding. And we know, and that we may know him who is true. that we would know him, not just about him, not just, hey, here's the Wikipedia version of who God is, but that we would know him experientially, personally, deeply, and we know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. We know that. It's not just about believing the right things. It's about being placed in Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. We know this. In his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. We know this. Amen? Amen? Beloved, I want to tell you this morning that we know these things. And when we know these things, we have confidence in who God is and in who we are and what we're supposed to do. We know. Miguel, do you want to come up? We know, we know, we know. And how does life change when we know? It changes everything. It changes everything. We're no longer walking around as Christians like this. No one in Sonoma County is a Christian. So we know God's God. And we're in him, and we know him, and we can pray according to his will, and it's going to be done. We know we're born again. And you know what? We know that the earth belongs to Satan, but do you know what? We're born of God. We've been rescued. We know, we know, we know, we know we have understanding. It doesn't matter if they don't understand. We know that we understand. Beloved, you know the truth. And do you know what the truth does? It's so, beloved, I'm asking Jesus that he would give us such incredible confidence because we know. And as the Lord calls us into things, you know, as we talk about God raised up 72, when we have confidence, like, you know, God's going to do this. You know, it changes everything. All we got to do is ask for it and walk in it because we know. So two questions. Do you know him and do you know? Do you know? Do you know this? The greatest and only weapon the father of lies has is lies. And he's going to lie to you and make you feel that you don't know this. You can't trust him. You can't be sure. But beloved, I'm telling you, with the authority I've given to speak the word of God, that you know. You can have confidence and assurance that this is true. And it doesn't matter what anyone else says. You know. Amen? God, I ask in Jesus' name for even understanding to know this. God, that you would raise us up to be a confident people who trust you with all of our hearts because we know. Lord, I ask that you'd wipe away any doubt, any fear, any room that the liar has space for in our lives. And God, I ask that you'd make us confident in the way, confident in the truth, confident in this eternal life that we have. And God, that we would walk victoriously because we know. God, we pray your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, because this is true and we know it. Amen. Amen.